The text is the gospel reading from Matthew chapter 13. Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in baskets, but threw the bad away. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all these things? Jesus asked. Yes, they replied. He said to them, therefore, every teacher of the law who has been instructed about the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old. Here ends the text. You have to read the sermon title like a question with your voice rising at the end. Kingdom for sale? No doubt that's how most hear this parable. There's a treasure and a pearl that you may, can, and must purchase. But is that true? If that, go ahead and buy it. No doubt these parables are about the kingdom. Jesus says three times, the kingdom of heaven is like. And if it's for sale, I'm buying. The kingdom of heaven is God's reign and rule over sin, death, and the devil. God's kingdom, says Romans 4:17, is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Isaiah 11:6 says the kingdom is where the wolf will live with the lamb, the leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf, the lion, and the yearling together. Isaiah 65:20 says about the kingdom, never again will there be an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not live out his years. He who dies at 100 will be thought a mere youth. He who fails to reach 100 will be considered accursed. The end of that chapter expresses the radical disconnect between the fallen world and heaven's kingdom. It says the wolf and the lamb will feed together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. They'll neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, says the Lord. Yes, that treasure is hidden now, but it's here. It's hidden under tears, death, mourning, pain, and sorrow. It's hidden by the devil, the world, in our own flesh. It is hidden under the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It's hidden under the deception of misbelief, despair, and other great shame and vice. But it's as real and present as that pew you're sitting on. And it's worth buying, right? The kingdom of heaven is one of a kind. Notice the merchant goes looking for fine pearls, plural, but it settles on a single one of great value. I'm sold. I'm all in. Sign me up. I'm buying it. Not so fast there. The kingdom of heaven draws all kinds. Just because you're drawn to it doesn't mean you get it. The kingdom of heaven, says Jesus, isn't just like a field and a merchant. No, not a pearl, but a merchant looking. The kingdom of heaven is not just like a field or a merchant looking, but it's like a net let down into the lake of the world, catching all kinds of fish. The kingdom catches the good, the bad, and the ugly. It doesn't just catch speckled trout, it catches dogfish. It doesn't just catch good fish, but literally worthless ones. So just because you're in the queue to buy the kingdom of heaven, doesn't mean you're in it. Wait a minute, I'm confused. Well, you should be. But that doesn't matter for now. Because truth be told, one way or the other, you're going to be foreclosed on. And that's the first truth to see if you view this as a cost of discipleship text. Can you, will you, pay all to buy the field that has the treasure in it? Sold all, sold everything, tolls like a bell over the transaction. If you think you can pay it, it's going to be like the days before credit cards and debit cards. You're going to get to the checkout and find that the kingdom costs far more than you thought and have. Remember the embarrassment of that? You used to have that same experience when a credit card was declined. Now it happens so much for so many reasons, it's not embarrassing. And anyway, you say, well, try this one. But this isn't about borrowing money or getting credit to buy the kingdom. It's about selling everything to pay cash on the barrelhead. And you are confused if you're still thinking that the cost here is what Jesus said earlier, denying yourself, taking up your cross and following him. No, that's discipleship. We're talking about buying the kingdom of heaven. Micah, about 800 BC, already considered this transaction, saying, "Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul?" In Eden, when the Lord walked with Adam in the cool of the evening, the kingdom of heaven was one with the kingdom of earth. But not content with heaven on earth, Adam wanted more, better, different, and so he deliberately, not being deceived at all by Satan, he deliberately ate of the fruit he was forbidden to. And you know the rest of the story. He fell into a burning ring of fire. He fell down, 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 and the flames went higher. And his fall burned every single one of us and condemned us to the ring of fire outside of heaven's kingdom. No eternal life for us. Our tears, only tears, thistles, sweat, and sorrow. But wait. Tragedy only awaits if you realize too late that you can't buy the kingdom of heaven. If you see the price tag for something correctly while still in line and realize that the 20 in your wallet is really a 10, no harm, no foul. If you realize nothing you have, not your repentance, not your good works, not your strong faith, nothing you have is enough to buy the kingdom of heaven. If you realize that, it's not too late for you. If you see there is no buying of heaven without buying the field of the world, you'll see no ordinary human has enough to do that. If you see that Jesus does not say the kingdom of heaven is like a pearl of great price, but like a merchant looking for fine pearls, then you'll see Jesus isn't setting you up as the buyer at all. And you certainly aren't the one letting down the net into the lake, because you and I don't sort through the catch at the end of the day. And notice, this is one of the only places Jesus doesn't talk about heaven, but just about hell. Jesus is trying to scare the hell into you. So you'll drop the net and consider who is the fish and who's the fisherman. Yes, Jesus called the apostles fishers of men, but just as he is the good shepherd with under shepherds, so he is the first fisherman. You won't see Jesus has to be the buyer unless you try to buy it yourself and get foreclosed on. That's the rich young man who said he had kept the second table of the law perfectly. And Jesus said, "Okay, now keep the first." He realized he couldn't do that and went away dejected. This is the lawyer who realizes he can't buy the kingdom. He was sure he could be a neighbor if he just knew who his neighbor was. Then Jesus piled cost upon cost of being a neighbor like the Good Samaritan was. Now, we don't know if the lawyer came to see he couldn't keep the law perfectly as required. The question is, do you? And do you see that you can't be the buyer of the kingdom of heaven? Who alone really sold all he had? Who alone really sold everything he had? Jesus. He gave up the full use of his divine powers and rights to live in a humble way on the earth. Though he never sinned in thought, in word, or deed, even his own mother treated him as a sinner. When Joseph and her lost track of him, Mary, on finding Jesus, says, "Son, why have you treated us this way? See, your father and I have been anxiously looking for you." Though Jesus never broke God's law, the leaders of the Old Testament church not only said he was a Samaritan outside of God's church, but he was demon-possessed. And the holy Jesus suffered all this, but gave up more still. He gave up sleep. He gave up blood, sweat, and tears. The perfect Jesus gave up his very life. Remember, he said that. "No one takes my life from me, but I lay it down of my own accord." His perfect works, his perfect love, his perfect blood, sweat, and tears, his perfect suffering and sighing, they were not enough to buy the world back from sin, death, and the devil. It took dying to get that done. Remember from last week's parable of the wheat and the weeds that Jesus said the field is the world? So the treasure of the kingdom of heaven is hidden in the field of the world. And God the Son buys the whole world to get the treasure. God the Son is the pearl merchant who, while looking for fine pearls, finds one among them. And he's the fisherman who lets down the dragnet to catch all kinds of fish. He brings in the whole catch. The call of Jesus to a worry-free life, to an everlasting life, to a kingdom of righteousness and peace in the Holy Spirit, that call goes out to one and all. The call to get out of the line to pay for your own sins, let alone the world's. The call to get out of line to buy yourself back goes out to one and all. Sure, count the cost and see that you don't have enough. You can't have enough. No matter how much you make yourself suffer, no matter how hard you try, no matter the cost of sin, the price of salvation is nothing less than the holy, precious blood and innocent suffering and death of the man who is God. God is Almighty is the one we sinned against. Only God can satisfy the wrath of God, and only a man could do it in place of all men. But what about that question at the end of the text? As I've told you before, punctuation was not in the earliest Greek manuscripts. So while most translations take Jesus' words, "Have you understood all these things?" as a question, not all do. Origen, who died 245 AD, said that some Christians took the words to be not a question, but an affirmation, to which the disciples added their yes. After just speaking of the angels coming and separating the wicked from the righteous, but then only speaking of throwing the wicked into hell, I'm hearing Jesus assuring me that I do understand these things. Go home and do a word search for understand in Matthew 13. I'll give you a head start. Type in Strong's G4920. You'll see that 6 out of the 9 times Matthew uses that Greek word are in this chapter. It's all about understanding the word. And you do, says Jesus. Therefore, you also understand from John 16 that all things that belong to the Father belong to the Son, and Jesus gives them to us. Having been instructed in the kingdom of heaven, you see that in Jesus you own the whole house. So all things in the house, whether that Old Testament promise of Jesus crushing the head of the devil, or that New Testament promise that for Jesus' sake God remembers our sins no more, all things are yours. Go ahead. Look around the kingdom like you own the place. You do. Jesus bought it for you to use now and forever. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.